As we turn now to Yahweh's testimony, I want to share with you God's view of the Torah, of his role as father instructing his children. And that's what Torah means. It's fatherly advice. This is a mizmor that I'm going to share with you. It's the 119th. I'm going to share with you verses 65 through 72 so that you might have a better understanding as to what God's perspective is on the Torah. Now, recognizing that Christians, ever since Paul penned his first letter, have despised the Torah. It's important to know what God's view is of his guidance. It reads as follows. You have actively engaged and accomplished good, beneficial, and generous things with and through your associate and co-worker, Yahweh, in accordance with your word. The good and positive aspects associated with exercising good judgment, the whole process of informed, rational decision-making, leading to understanding based on knowledge, teaches me so that I might benefit by choosing to respond appropriately. So indeed, in the terms and conditions of your binding covenant agreement, I completely trust and totally rely because they are verifiable and enduring. Prior to the time that I responded and answered this invitation, before I was thoughtful, spoke truthfully, and composed these songs, I was preoccupied and I unintentionally erred. I inadvertently wandered aimlessly without deliberation and sinned without meaning to do so because I was unwittingly deceived and therefore placed my faith in mistaken opinions. But now, at this point in time, I literally keep my eyes totally focused upon, carefully and completely observing, closely examining and diligently exploring, genuinely evaluating the totality of your word, your instruction, and your promise. You are good, Yahweh. And you are doing what is good and beneficial, helping me learn, becoming better acquainted while teaching me how to properly respond to your clearly communicated prescriptions that are engraved in writing so that I might know how to live my life with you. The self-important, the self-motivated, and the presumptuous, as Glenn would call them, the wordly weasels, they lie, they mislead, and they deceive with their speeches, promoting worthless beliefs, smearing and slandering with misinformation. Their scribes conceal what I have said on behalf of God by plastering over it, by whitewashing it with their official message. I will, with all of my heart, with all of my energy and personal commitment and sense of purpose, engage my Savior by keeping close to and observing your precepts, those instructions which you have entrusted to us to encourage us to pay close attention to so that we might respond appropriately to you. Your Torah is actively engaged in my life because I delight in it and I find it totally enjoyable. It is good and beneficial for me that indeed you responded, providing your testimony for the purpose of teaching me how to properly respond to your engraved and clearly communicated prescriptions of what I should do to be cut into this relationship. The Torah teaching, the Torah instruction and guidance of your mouth is better and more prosperous for me than thousands of gold and silver coins. Mizmor 119:65 through 72. It's a powerful lesson. That's God's perspective on the Torah, on learning. And as you see, it begins by telling us that we engage with God through the exercise of good judgment, by making informed, rational decisions, and that we are led to the capacity to do this through knowledge, and that access to good quality information, that would be what we find in the Torah, teaches us so that we can benefit by choosing to respond to what Yahweh is offering. And that it is the terms and conditions of the covenant agreement, the mitzvah, that ultimately we are led to and either come to accept or reject. Now, what Dod, whom most people know as David, it means beloved, recognized, is that initially, prior to him taking the time to focus on Yahweh's Torah, before he came to understand what God was offering, that he said that he was preoccupied, that he unintentionally erred, that he had inadvertently wandered aimlessly. It's true for all of us. You know, I was active politically. I was active religiously. And I didn't do it because I thought I was rebelling against God. I just unintentionally erred. I inadvertently wandered away. I unwittingly was deceived, placing my faith in mistaken opinions of others. And so the cure for that, according to God, is to be observant, to closely examine and carefully consider what God has to say. It is the antidote for the word weasels, the invertebrates that are infecting the largest human institutions. Think. Pay attention. Do your homework. Study what God had to say. And you can only study what he has to say if you read the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. That is where he communicated to us. And in Dod's case, he only had one book to look at. It was the Torah. We have more. We have an advantage that he did not have. Yes, Glenn?
Yeah. Do you know if that was written prior to or after the rebellion and death of Absalom? Because I'm thinking that was a pretty life-changing epiphany for Dod.
Yeah, I think that it would be after. I think that the 119th Psalm is the summation, the conclusion, really, of Dod's work. It is so masterful. It is so comprehensive. It is so sweeping. And it's so unlike anything else he had done. You know, he has lots of psalms, as we call them, that speak of various things, like the two most profound are the 22nd and 88th that speak specifically of Yahweh's historical enactment and fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, as well as Shavuah in year 4000 Yah, 33 CE. They are by far the most accurate and vivid eyewitness accounts of what would occur 1,000 years after they were written. But, you know, the 119th Psalm is exceptional. It's this song to everything that God had to teach in his Torah, which was all that Dod had to study, you know, systematically is arranged by the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's topical as to what that letter means, and there are 8 verses devoted to each letter that tell us what that letter means and conveying the meaning of each of the Hebrew words and how that relates overall to God's Torah testimony, his teaching. So, you know, this is an extraordinary song.
This is a guy who learned through a lot of struggle, you know, a lot of mistakes.
He did.
I would also contrast. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I like that. I mean, because that, as you have clearly pointed out, that you know, I make lots of mistakes. I struggle to learn. Now, I don't find learning a struggle, But I'm struggling constantly to let go of the things that are false, you know, because our society is so pervasive and it's so effective in indoctrinating us that we, just like Doge said, you know, I screwed up. We right. have all. We really have to struggle to separate ourselves just as Doe did. So by him saying this, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I can relate to this. This is an ongoing process. It's the most fun thing right. in the world we can do.
Well,
but it is an ongoing struggle.
A great example because of the serious implications of his mistakes, you know, in terms of Bathsheba and all that sort of thing and Uriah the Hittite and
right.
and Absalom and all that, and it just also goes to illustrate the depth and breadth of Yahweh's mercy and loving kindness.
Yes.
But and with regard to so I'm talking about I used to do this, but now I do that. You know, though correlating this with Psalm 1, which derides mockers and the scornful and mm-hmm. hanging out with them.
Right.
You know, it's also not hanging out with them.
Yes.
The scornful will say, oh, okay, so this just speaks of a conversion experience, and all that proves is that humans are changeable. And humans always say, I used to think this, but now I'm right, and I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, humans are changeable, but that doesn't change mm-hmm. the facts.
No, it doesn't.
Sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we get it wrong, and when we affiliate with Yahweh, then
yeah.
we're actually
yeah, if you're not willing to change when you find that new information proves that what you previously held to be true cannot be true. That either you now are going to cling to something that you know is false, or are you going to grow and change and admit that, you know, there is something that is that has replaced what you thought to be true.
Yes, it is, but also, when you've changed several times in lifetime, you grew up one way and then you changed mm-hmm. another way in mm-hmm. adolescence and changed again earlier. Yeah, eventually you can experience like what I call conversion fatigue. You know, because
well,
it's like,
yeah,
oh,
sure.
how many times can I be wrong?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
yeah.
when am I ever going to get it right, God? And,
yeah, you know, yeah. and I do, first of all, I'm not finding that to be the case. And what I am actually finding now is that the clarifications, as opposed to wholesale changes, are really quite small but profound in their implications. So the change from being religious and political to being a member of the covenant, now that's huge. Welcome back to Saturday Miss. We're having a conversation with Glenn about growing and changing. First of all, if we stop changing, then we are no longer growing. And if we are not growing, we're dying. Every being that is alive is growing. It's part of life. And the moment you stop growing, the decay process begins. Your life begins to conclude. So we want to always continue to grow. Glenn, the thing that I was going to make as a revelation here is that if you go back 10 years ago, the kinds of changes from what I was to transformation, if you will, to what I became and what I believed versus what I know, they were profound. I mean, to first realize there's no Jesus Christ, there's a Yahusha, that God hates the title Lord and that he has a name and that his name is Yahweh, that his Torah is not only still relevant, it is the foundational document inviting us to know and engage in a relationship with God. That's profound. Paul was a false prophet, and therefore there is no basis for the religion of Christianity. That Yahusha affirmed the Torah, he did not annul it. That the seven invitations to meet with God is the path that God has provided from our world to his. That the covenant has terms and conditions that are important for us to understand and respond to if we want to be part of his family. I mean, those things are all profound. And so and the realization of those things all took place, in, at least in my understanding, 5 to 10 years ago. And now most of the changes are refining changes based upon more study. Things like, for example, that there was no bodily resurrection and that it is inconsistent with the Torah and it's inconsistent with the eyewitnesses. I think it has profound implications, but it isn't a transformative change. Do you follow me on that?
Absolutely. I'm finding, like, as I listen to you speak on these things and begun to look into them myself, I found myself having to remain tentative, you know, like as, as I think I explained in an email one time, I see myself as an eclectic and nobody's sycophant, you know. I wanted to make sure that I verify each premise individually before I jump on any bandwagons and become a parrot, because it's so easy to do that. And, you know,
and my response to you was, those are all good choices. Those choices will serve you well forever. Now, I have finally jumped on a bandwagon, but the bandwagon I jumped on is not my own. But you know, after you've checked up 1,000 things that Yahweh has said, and they all make sense, and they all resonate, and the story all fits together, you know, after a while you say, okay, I'm just going to trust him from this point on, and enjoy the ride.
And like, and I think there are ways, like I find, you know, as a Christian encountering this stuff, there's, you know, there can be, I know, you know, a terrible fear of offending God and losing, you know, oh, no, I'm going to lose Jesus. No, you're not. You're going to correct his name. You're going to understand who he is better and how he lived according to the Torah, and, you know, realizing that if it's good enough for him, maybe it's good enough for you. And, you know, and ultimately giving up Paul isn't so threatening when you understand you're not losing anything. You're gaining a more real relationship with Yahweh. And then I think the realization about Paul, that can even come a little bit later. And then when you realize then perhaps you might experience the indignation. So, like, as you said, you felt betrayed. But initially, when you realize that, you know, at the start of, you know, after Yahshua's ascension and, you know, appearance resurrection or whatever, but after knowing that it is truly he who was first preached by the members of the way, you realize that, okay, that was all pre-Pauline, and you don't have, by giving up Paul, you're not giving up anything. That's like a really important, making sure you've got a grip on that next vine before you let go of the old one. And swinging on into the new way of doing things. But I have to, beg off here. I've got an incoming call from Commissioner Gordon, and I have to get ready for work. I'm going to bid you a duh.
All right. Always good to hear from you, Glenn. It is true to a large extent that the transition in one's life in giving up Paul and recognizing that Paul was a false prophet is much easier, and the transition is far better when one recognizes that there is a branch onto which you can cling, and that's the Torah. We'll be back. One of the things that I love about the example of Dode, who's the person that is nearest and dearest to God's heart. So this is God's favorite person. He's constantly talking about Dode. I mean, all the way through the prophets and how he's going to reconfigure the kingdom of Dode, how he loves Dode, how he's doing things on behalf of Dode. And it's DWD, with the W, the W, being the vowel O in English. So DWD would be Dode. Correctly transliterated. There is no V in Hebrew, so it can't be David. And the W does not make a ah sound. There is no Y in Dode either, which would be the I sound. So it's simply Dode. Who knows why it was changed to David. But what I do like about his story is that what it tells you is two things that are both extremely important. The first of those is that our behavior does not need to be perfect or anything near perfect for us to have a relationship with God, to be part of his family. Dode was a bad boy. He was a great example of doing a lot of things that he ought not have done, and yet Yahweh clearly loves him. So that means that flawed individuals like myself, and like probably most of you who are listening to this program, that we, so long as we accept the terms and conditions of the covenant, can live forever, can be perfected, can be adopted into Yahweh's family, to be enriched and empowered by him, to receive all of the benefits of the covenant through Yahweh's Torah teaching, so long as we are Torah observant, so long as we come to know Yahweh and understand the covenant based upon how that guidance is presented to us in the Torah, and that our prior and even current bad behavior isn't going to keep us out of his family. That's why Dode is such a wonderful example. It's just absolutely marvelous from my perspective that Yahweh chose a highly flawed individual like Dode to be the exemplar of being Torah observant. Because what it tells us, it's not doing what the Torah says. It's not obeying a set of rules that makes us right with God. Because the person who is considered to be Tzedak, the most right with God, didn't obey the Torah's rules. So what it tells us when we read this 119th Psalm is that the way that Dode observed the Torah is that he closely examined and carefully considered what God had to say, so that he was guided by it, and that he focused on those things that God shared that were germane to the covenant relationship. And as such, he became perfect in God's eyes, upright. That's a marvelous, marvelous story for us. And I said it conveys two things. You know, that's one of them. The second is that this Christian notion that unless you obey everything the Torah says, you're condemned by the Torah, which is Pauline doctrine and is wrong, is proved wrong by this man. This man is considered perfect by God, and yet he violated more of the Torah's rules, if you want to even call them that, instructions, than he had, by his own admission, hairs on his head. Now, unless he was absolutely bald, which I don't think was the case, what Dode does is prove that Christianity's claim regarding the Torah being a set of rules that have been outdated, a set of rules that you either obey all of them or you are condemned by it, is bogus. Absolutely wrong. And so his testimony is meaningful for those reasons. It also tells us the importance of being willing to change and accept what Yahweh has to offer, no matter how out of context it might be with societal norms. So here was Dode early in his life doing lots of things which he said, I wandered astray. I was wrong. I wasn't trying to rebel against God. You know, religious people, political people aren't deliberately trying to rebel against God, but just like Dode, they were misled. And now, Dode found the antidote for that. The antidote is the Torah. And so he talks about how Yahweh helped him, benefited him by helping him learn, become better acquainted, teaching him how to respond. It's all through us being observant and examining and considering Yah's Torah teaching that we are benefited by God. That's how he helps us. Then he goes on to say that the self-motivated and presumptuous, the self-important leaders lie. You know, Yosha, in one of his most famous speeches, said, you know, you don't want to be called a father. There's only one father. You don't want to be called a leader. Because if you try to become a leader of men, then you are never going to enjoy the benefits of heaven. The leaders of men end up in Sheol. whether they be religious leaders, military leaders, or political leaders. That's where they end up. You don't want to be a leader of men. Not according to Yahweh, and not according to Yahusha. What you want to do is to be led by God. And if you are led by God as opposed to led by men, then this opportunity awaits you as well. And Dodd is clearly pointing out that the reason he was misled is that human religious and political leaders lie. They mislead. They deceive with their speeches and their worthless beliefs. And what's also interesting is that those who are trying to protect their religious or political or military credibility, they all whitewash, they all slander, they attack through misinformation. And that's what Dodd is saying happened to him. Once he became aware of the truth and he began to proclaim the truth, as he is doing in this song, what he found is that those protecting their religious and political and military interests whitewashed, plastered over what he had to say with their official message. But Dodd says, you know, be that as it may, I'm not going to be influenced by them. With all of my heart, with all of my energy and personal commitment, I'm going to engage my Savior, Yahweh, by closely observing his precepts, his instructions. And then he tells us where we're to find those instructions. The Torah. The Torah. He says the Torah is actively engaged in my life because I delight in it. When the Torah is actively engaged in your life, Yah's view of you will be the same as it was of this man. You will be viewed as beloved. You will be viewed as important to God. You will be viewed as his child, his heir. Just as Dodd came to delight in the Torah, and just as Dodd engaged the Torah in his life, Yahweh engaged Dodd in his life and came to delight in him. He went on to say, it is good and beneficial for me that Yahweh responded, providing his testimony. He didn't just provide his testimony for this man, but he provided it for all of us. You can read it in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And indeed, you responded with your testimony for the purpose of teaching me how to respond to you, and did so through your engraved and clearly communicated prescriptions of what we should do to be cut into this relationship. And he concludes this section of the teaching with the Torah. Instruction, direction, and guidance of your mouth is better and more prosperous for me than thousands upon thousands of gold and silver coins. Now in that Dodd, David, is speaking to and on behalf of Yahweh and his Torah, his insights and perspective regarding both are relevant to our understanding and why we should reject Paul's denunciation of Yahweh and his Torah. Even in the 25th Psalm, written well before this day, Dodd would go on to say, the sins of my youth and rebellion do not remember. As your love and mercy for me is remembered on account of your goodness, Yahweh. Now he's going to say more and we're going to consider more, but think of this for a moment. The man that God called perfect, righteous, upright, tzedak, vindicated, is a man who said that in his youth, he had engaged in sinful rebellion. But now he's telling Yahweh not to remember what he has done. And that's the nature of Yah's plan of salvation. You see, on matzah, the fungus of sin, represented by yeast, is removed from us. And when Yahweh removes it, he's not just like putting it off to one side. He's removing it, disposing of it. You know, this notion that God is all-knowing, it's not true. The means that Yahweh developed to view us as perfect is to forget, to be unaware of our imperfections. So Dodd here is affirming something that is really profoundly important, that God does not remember. He does not even know the imperfections in Dodd's life, the flaws in his life, or the flaws in yours and mine. He has chosen to come up with a plan to replace the darkness in our lives with his light. And where there is light, there can be no darkness. And so Dodd is saying that your love and mercy for me is remembered on account of your goodness, Yahweh. This ability of God to view us as perfect is not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Yahweh, the Most High, is good, Tova, and always right, completely correct, and consistently straightforward. Therefore, he is the source of teaching and instruction, and he guides and directs sinners along the way. We'll consider Psalm 25, verse 8, in greater depth when we return after the break. So here's Dodd, the man that God loves more than any other, talking to Yahweh about their relationship, talking to Yahweh about this transformation in his life that took place not based on faith, not based on religion, not based on opinion, but upon observation, study, thinking, understanding, the study of the Torah. He says, Yahweh, the Most High, is good, moral, perfect, beautiful, pleasing, joyful, cheerful, happy, favorable, beneficial, and generous. Tova. And always right, completely correct, and consistently straightforward, which is the opposite of what Paul says about him. And therefore, he is the source of teaching and instruction. He guides and directs sinners along the way. The Torah is the opposite of what is presented in Pauline Christianity. It is a set of instructions designed to direct sinners along the way. The Torah wasn't written for perfect people. There are no perfect people. The Torah was written for the likes of Dodd, flawed, imperfect individuals. It was written for the likes of Moshe, a flawed and imperfect individual. It was written for the likes of me, a flawed and imperfect individual. The Torah directs flawed sinners along the way. The way to God is laid out in the Torah. It's a seven-step path, beginning with Pesach, Passover, the doorway to God's home, the doorway to life, and matzah, the threshold that removes the fungus of sin from our souls, so we appear perfect in Yah's eyes. And once we're immortal, once we're perfect, we can be adopted into his family, which is what occurs on Bukurim, firstborn children, following Pesach and matzah. And then in the fourth invitation to meet with God on Shavuot, which is the promise of this Shabbat, the promise of seven, the oath of seven. Yahweh's covenant children, those who have availed themselves of Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, are enriched with his teaching and empowered by his Spirit. This enables us on the fifth of the seven invitations to meet with God to be effective witnesses on his behalf, sharing what he has shared with us on Teruah. So that ultimately on Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations, Yahweh's children, Yisrael and Yehuda, are reconciled back in a covenant relationship with Yahweh, so that collectively we can all camp out with God. Sukkah, the seventh of the seven meetings, where we do camp out with God for all eternity, with him in his home. That's the plan. That's the way. It is the way for sinners. That way is meaningless for perfect individuals. If you're perfect, you don't need a plan of salvation. But since none of us are, we do. and the plan of salvation, the guidance to that plan, the directions, all come through the seven Moed Mikre. And that's one of the great transformations in life, is to recognize that these seven invitations to meet with God aren't Jewish holidays, as Christianity, particularly Roman Catholicism, presents them. They're Yahweh's invitations. And he is inviting you to meet with him. If you choose not to, then you are going to be forever estranged from him. It's the only means to engage in a relationship with God. Dode goes on to say, he enables the way of the unpretentious and sincere who respond actively and engage. With this means to exercise good judgment and to achieve justice by resolving disputes. Oh, powerful. Yahweh engages. He reaches out to those of us who are interested in knowing who he is. He'll meet us along the way. He not only engages in that way, reaching out to us, but he also engages in that he himself made this path, this way possible, because he was the Passover lamb, because he accepted the fungus of our sin on matzah. He was the first of the firstborn children of Bukurim. He is the power and the teaching, the enlightenment behind Shavuah. He is the way. And so he himself engaged along this way on behalf of the sincere who respond to what he's offering. We'll continue with this message tomorrow. May Yah bless.